From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Korva Coleman, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Korva. Thank you very much. We got a great show for you this week. Drew Carey will be joining us later to show us how a game show host does a game show. Yes, great guy. Happy to have him. But first, last week we made some jokes, some mild jokes, about the supporters of Barack Obama. We kind of compared them to a cult. We sort of implied they're a bit like Scientologists. And we got a lot of outraged letters accusing us of going too far, of revealing our biases, and worst, of being unfunny, which, apropos of nothing, is exactly the response we get from Scientologists when we make fun of them. So, to the Obamaniacs in our audience, let me quote that great sage, Warren Oates. Lighten up, Francis. Besides, if you write about him and we keep it up, we'll all be swallowed by great crevices in the earth anyway soon. So, before that happens, give us a call. The number is 1-888-924-8924 or 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Lindsay from New York, New York.
Hey, how are things in Gotham?
They are excellent.
Excellent? Wow. And what do you do there?
I'm an attorney.
Oh.
One of the few.
One of the few, the many, the proud. Is your life just all about, you know, corner offices and moral turpitude like in Michael Clayton?
I'm a first year, so I'm not at the corner yet, but, you know.
But you still got the moral turpitude.
Of course.
They start you that early. All right.
It's standard, yeah.
All right. Well, welcome to our show, Lindsay. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a television personality and the man wholly responsible for the blog MoRocca180.com, Mr. Mo Rocca.
Hi, Mo.
Hi, Lindsay.
Next, say hello to a comedian who will be performing at the Riverside Theater in Vero Beach, Florida on April 3rd, Ms. Paula Poundstone.
Hi, Paula.
Hey, Lindsay.
And lastly, the host of Too Beautiful to Live on KIRO AM in Seattle, Luke Burbank.
Hi, Luke.
Hiya, Lindsay.
Welcome to the show, Lindsay. Now, you're going to play Who's Korva This Time? Korva Coleman, filling in for Carl Castle, is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you will of course, win our prize, Carl's Voice, on your home answering machine. Ready to go?
Yes.
All right. Here is your first quote.
I smell sex and Ben Gay.
That was the blogger known as T-Bog. He was reacting to news about John McCain's alleged relationship with whom?
A lobbyist.
A lobbyist, indeed. On Thursday, under the provocative headline, For McCain, Self-Confidence on Ethics Poses Its Own Risk, ooh, the New York Times published a story pointing out that in his career, Republican presidential candidate John McCain has had a more complex relationship with special interests than his rhetoric would lead you to believe. Well, jeepers. Oh, little footnote, just a bit of color. His aides were so worried that he was canoodling with an attractive female lobbyist back in 2000 that they had to run an intervention. Cover your heads, it's a bimbo eruption. McCain held a press conference the same day, Thursday, said a lot about his integrity and how he would never sell his office to lobbyists. Fine, yes, great, you bet. But did he or did he not Lewinsky that lobbyist? He says, and this is his entire response verbatim, quote, no, unquote. That's it. Will we ever know the truth? Well, somewhere in a remote part of Virginia, the doors to a cryogenic sleep chamber just opened. And Linda Tripp stepped out, saying, my country needs me once again.
This is hotter than that sex scene in Cocoon.
I saw him, you know, angrily saying no, and if he says no, I'm happy to believe him. But it seems to me that this is a thing he could spin to suggest some pride in the fact
that the
people
babes
thought that the babes were coming his way. Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah.
You think so? Sure.
Like he could have just come out.
Proud of the little fellow when I heard.
I said, yeah, I love it. Senator Hefner.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Like the McCain press conference would be, he just comes out in front of all of the assembled reporters, he looks over to his chief of staff, and they high-five. And then he just goes back.
You know, I think he'd be elected by acclamation. Well, very good, Lindsay. Here is your next quote.
Only 47 years after the Bay of Pigs, he has toppled from power.
That was Paul Keel of the website Talking Points Memo, commemorating the resignation from office of whom?
Castro.
Exactly right. Fidel Castro. Sure, you could say that the CIA's efforts to depose the Cuban dictator finally worked. Using their secret aging ray, which made him slowly lose strength and agility over the course of 5 decades. Or, if you wanted, you could give the credit to Castro himself. When he led his guerrilla army into Havana in January 1959, he did promise that he would relinquish power. Sure, it took him a while. You know how hard it is to move. You got to find the right boxes and stuff. The Bush administration, of course, took some pride that they have accomplished what 9 previous administrations could not manage. Yeah, that's right. He's going to land in another aircraft carrier.
Mission Akai, love
but
this.
But now they're plotting how to overthrow Fidel's successor, his 76-year-old brother, Raul Castro. White House sources say they should be able to get rid of him in about 15 years, depending on whether or not he's watching his salt. Here, Lindsay, is your last quote.
Citizens who observe or encounter falling debris should notify your local public safety agency and stay away from it.
That was a quote from FEMA's 18-page guide that they issued about how to deal with the threat of what falling to Earth after it was shot down on Wednesday night.
Pieces of the spy satellite.
Exactly right. You're very good today.
You know, it's exciting because I got to win and fill for the whole time.
Yeah. So a little while ago, the Pentagon announced that a top-secret spy satellite the size of a bus had malfunctioned shortly after being placed in orbit. Nothing to worry about, no problem. The death ray lasers are pointed the other way. Go about your business, citizens. Oh, and by the way, they're going to spend $60 million to shoot it down. The reason that the Pentagon gave for the first ever orbital target practice was that the satellite had some dangerous chemicals in its fuel tank. Wouldn't want that to hit the ground because, in a spokesman's words, quote, somebody might end up in the hospital, unquote. Oh. Slightly more suspicious types suspect it was all about putting on a show for the Chinese, who demonstrated their own ability to shoot down satellites a few months ago. Others, even more conspiracy-minded, say that the satellite had photographed and recorded one of John McCain's meetings with that lobbyist.
Ooh.
Needed to be taken care of, if you know what I mean.
You know, I think that when my son heard that he's 9 and really violent, and I think when I told them from having been on this show, I said, you know, there's the spy satellite, it's the size of a minivan, because that's what you guys say. Yeah. I always go home and tell them the stuff I learned. And I think he said, why don't they shoot it down?
Really?
I think, yeah.
They're taking cues from your 9-year-old son?
Well, I have a funny feeling that there's a lot of kind of 9-year-old boy mentality in the Pentagon, would be my guess.
It's possible.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they were all probably like with rubber bands and stuff in the break room. Just, why don't we shoot it down? Honestly, how many eye injuries do you think there have been during break time at the
you
Pentagon?
Corva, how did Lindsay do in our quiz?
Well, Lindsay got all 3 right. Carl Castle will be recording the message on her answering machine.
Well done, Lindsay. Congratulations.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.